Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Boutreaux, I lived with a man named Clarence. They didn't like each other. And they would come out occasionally and yell at one another. And Boudreaux would say, "I'm going to whoop you, Clarence." And Clarence would say, "No, I'm going to whoop you, Boudreaux." And they yelled at one another for years. Neither one crossed the bayou until the state of Louisiana came and built a bridge right across the bayou. And Boudreaux was sitting in his house one day. His wife, Marie, came and said, "Well, what you waiting for?" He said, "What?" She said, "They built a bridge. You go whoop Clarence." He said, "I'll do that." He walked out of the house, and a few minutes later, she heard the door slam. "He's back." She said, "Why are you back?" He said, "I was crossing that bridge to whoop Clarence. And there was a sign there that said, Clarence, 13 feet, 6 inches. He said, I swear, Marie, he don't look that big from across the bayou." For those of you who are from Louisiana, my apologies. It's good to laugh in church. This morning, I want to talk about his invitation. Accepting his invitation. That Jesus invites us into something that what it looks like and what it'll do for you. If you think about inviting someone in, we think about inviting someone into your home. I don't know about you, but not just anyone can come in my house. If you look sketchy, you are not coming in. And now we've got those Ring doorbell things, so I can see you. I don't even have to answer the door. I can just look at you and go, "Nah, you're not coming in." No. If the people come in my house, a lot of times they're people who have come to fix something. If you're a plumber, you are welcome. If you are an electrician, you are welcome. If you fix air conditioning, you are very welcome. But usually it's somebody who's coming in to fix things. And then family can come in. Family and friends. My family now, they just knock and then come in. Knocking is like, "We're here, we're coming in." And I was thinking that's kind of Joy and I were talking about on the way up. Over the years that we've had people come in. Joy invited a crazy woman to stay with us one time. We were in Bible school, and Joy overheard someone in the ladies' bathroom saying that she needed a place to live, and Joy just invited her into our house. She was bona fide crazy. Absolutely. And after about 3 weeks, we figured it out. And so after then, we've been kind of hesitant about people that we let in the house. But I think we've lost a little something, because I grew up in a day, and some of you remember this, where every home had a living room and a formal dining room. Maybe your house still does. We had a living room, and the living room was filled with furniture. And if you were a child, you dare not enter the living room. That was like the Holy of Holies. You enter that inner room, you would die. And so your parents, if you touched anything, some of you still remember your grandparents who had plastic on the sofa in the living room. Because the living room was where you brought guests in, and where you had the guests. And it was a special place. Because really, if you think about it, anybody that you invite in your home, you're honoring. It's an honor. You just don't have anybody. And so someone comes into your home, and if they share a meal with you, then that's an honoring thing. And there's an invitation that Jesus offers us. We see it in Revelations 3:20, where he says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." That's a New Living Translation. Some of you more familiar would say, "If you open the door, I will come in and dine with you. And you with me." And really what he was talking about was that word dine meant the word supper. It was not a quick bite. It was not a kolache in the plaza. It was something where you would sit down, you would talk, you would share. And it's a word that we don't use much nowadays, but you would have fellowship. I grew up Baptist. And in Baptist, we had a fellowship hall. And that was a place where many casseroles were destroyed right there. But it was a place where we would gather and eat and visit And Jesus is offering us an invitation. He said, I'm knocking, but if you'll open the door, I'll come in and we'll have fellowship together. There'll be a sharing together. And that's an awesome, awesome thing. If you think about it, we have an opportunity to share with the King of the universe where he can come into our lives. Warren Buffett, those of you who are familiar with Warren Buffett, probably one of the greatest investment gurus of our generation. They call him the Oracle of Omaha. He runs Berkshire Hathaway. And Warren Buffett, a few years ago, about 20 years ago, he decided that for charity, he would auction off a lunch with himself. He would sit down and visit with you. It was at a steak restaurant in New York City. And you talk about some auctions. Money started pouring in. I think the first auction was over $1 million. $1 million for someone to sit down with Warren Buffett. And it just continued to grow. And it got up to $3 million and $4 million. And he said in 2022 was his last time of doing it. And the winning bid was $19 million to sit down with Warren Buffett and hear his ideas on investment. He wouldn't talk to you about what he was doing in the future, but he would talk to you about investment strategies. And if you value investment, you're thinking, man, that's a great lunch. That's awfully expensive. That's a great lunch. Man, I am so glad we have an invitation from the King of the universe, the Prince of Peace, that we could sit down and we could have time with him, a sharing together with him that is so much more valuable than anything Warren Buffett can share with you. Because what he can share with you is something that can impact your life for eternity. And it's worth the time and it's worth the effort to invite him in and make him more than just a Sunday Jesus. Make him a Jesus that you have a relationship with. There was a man in the Bible who let Jesus into his life. I like his story. It's one of my favorites. I guess it's because the guy is so unlikely. And yet Jesus has a time of fellowship with him. Jesus invites him and he responds. You'll know the story from Zacchaeus, but I think we've dumbed it down when all we remember is the Sunday school song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Yeah, he climbed up in the sycamore tree. The Lord he wanted to see. There's a lot more to it than that. Let's read the story here in Luke. Again, New Living Translation. It said, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy, but the people were displeased. He's going to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Zacchaeus was a man of many layers. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He had what most people want. He had power and he had wealth. Most people are looking for that. He had both. But he also had something that most people have. He had a level of hurt. I don't know what it was that would drive a man to become a tax collector, but you have to understand that the tax collectors worked for the Romans. The Romans were the occupying army, and they actually would take taxes. Now, just imagine just for a second, hypothetical. If China somehow overran our country, and look, don't, some of you just involuntarily reach for your gun. Don't do that. This is hypothetical. If China overran our country, and they started running everything, and your next door neighbor went to work for the Chinese collecting taxes. And he knocked on your door one day and said, by the way, it's tax time, you owe 10 grand. You're like, 10 grand? I only paid five last year. He said, well, it's 10 this year. And he took the money and gave some to the Chinese. He pocketed the rest. And you watch him as he gets new vehicles and new toys. In fact, he moves to a bigger home. You're not going to like that guy. You would be blessing his heart and probably more than that. You would be upset with him because he's working for the occupying army, and that's exactly what the tax collectors were doing. So in the Jewish society, they were hated. But something's got to drive somebody. Something's got to make you want to do something. And this guy was driven because he became a chief tax collector, and he wasn't a big imposing guy. He was a little guy. Maybe he was looked over in life. Maybe he was because he was shorter. You know, we have a bad habit as humans. We tend to ascribe great characteristics to people who are tall and less than to people who are shorter. Has nothing to do with who they are on the inside, but everything to do with who they are on the outside. Maybe he was looked over, and I promise you, he was looked down. And the rejection and the thing drove him, because you don't become a chief tax collector by being a really nice guy. You're a guy that's driven, and you're motivated, and you're stealing. And they hated him. So here he was. He's wealthy. He's hurting. And he had a spiritual hunger that was real. He had a spiritual hunger that would cause him to want to see Jesus and then actually run. Because when he couldn't, no one's going to let him through. They didn't like him anyway. They're like, no, we're not going to let you through. And he couldn't see. So he's trying to. So he runs and climbs a tree. Now you say, well, no. You're one of the wealthiest guys in town, and you're running and climbing a tree. There's a spiritual hunger there. And Zacchaeus had a hunger for just something more than what he had in his life. But he's exactly the wrong person, and the person that no one thought Jesus would have noticed. Everyone in town thought he was a notorious sinner. They'd been blowing up his Facebook page for a long time, telling him how bad they thought he was. Religion had rejected him. And how surprised they were when Jesus came and stood under the tree where he was and knew his name. And he called him down and said, Zacchaeus, come down. So he gave him an invitation. And Zacchaeus had a choice. Now we think about, well, yes, of course he would respond. Well, not necessarily. Remember what the time that Jesus had an encounter with Peter and he gave him a huge catch of fish? Peter's response was to come to Jesus and say, Lord, you need to depart from me because I am a sinful man. That was not Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, when Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus, I have to be a guest in your house. The Bible says Zacchaeus came down quickly. And boy, he was excited because Jesus was going to come to his house. He was going to be a guest. He was actually going to have a chance to sit and to talk and to commune and to fellowship with Jesus. He wasn't going to miss that. And so he was moving quickly. And he must have thought that spending time with Jesus was not going to be a lecture or something condemning. It was going to be something empowering. And it was. Because when Jesus sat down with Zacchaeus and spent some time with Zacchaeus, it began to change Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, after spending time with Jesus, maybe for the very first time, Zacchaeus felt like God accepted him, and he wasn't rejected by God. And so he's empowered now, and now he stands up and he tells the Lord, you see he's empowered, you see some change come over his life, because for the first time he feels accepted. For the first time he feels like that God is for him. For the first time he feels like there's something more in my life than just money and power and trying to get ahead. And he looks up and tells Jesus, he said, look, I'm going to give half my money to the poor. Listen, you know there's a change when you don't give away half your stuff. But you also know you're rich when he still had enough with the other half to pay back everyone he cheated four times over. So now he's giving to the poor, and now he is also making things right with people he had wronged. That's a heart change. When Zacchaeus invited Jesus into his life, there was a change. It turned him around. And Jesus said after Zacchaeus spoke that, he said, salvation's come to this house today. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We live in a busy world. We live in a world that we're so caught up in the physical that we sometimes forget that there is a spiritual realm that is bigger and greater than anything that we know. We live in a realm that even though we can't see it, it existed before we ever did. In fact, Paul said, in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. And when we begin to realize that there's a spiritual part of us that can be developed and strengthened, we realize that's a part of us that we need to give attention to, because when we do, we're not leaving a lot on the table. We're developing what God has called us to be. Answering Jesus' invitation, when he invites, how do you respond? It's an open invitation. Look at this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. You were called by him into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's an open invitation to all of us. It says we were called into fellowship. Again, that word call means, it means to invite in. It's like God saying, hey, I got something for you. I'm calling you, inviting you to have a relationship, to share with the Lord, to have a relationship with him, to have him speak into your life. It's an invite. And then he invites you, but you have to RSVP. You have to respond and say, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to open my life up. I'm going to have the Lord in my life, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, not just sometimes. It's going to be in my life. You say, well, what's that even look like, Alan? How do I have fellowship with the Lord? Well, it's a lot like fellowship with someone else. If I invited you to my house and you came in and sat down and I never looked at you or talked to you, you would think, yeah, this wasn't that good. This wasn't a good time. No, you come in and Joy makes, when she does cook, that's the other side of empty nest, guys. It's a rally. But she makes a great red sauce and meatballs. And man, that's great to have fellowship around that. But it involves listening and talking. Listen. You say, well, how do I listen to the Lord? Am I going to hear voices? No. He will whisper to your heart, but you have his word. And his word is him talking to us. When we read the Bible, I think sometimes we have sold reading the Bible short and we act like, okay, it's a duty. I know I'm supposed to read it. We have Bible 365, not here in this church, other churches, because here at the Ark, Bible 365, everybody reads Bible 365. It's our devotional. We read it one chapter a day, every day. But we're not just reading words. We're reading words that are important to us, words that speak to our heart. We used to send letters. Anybody remember letters? People used to write like and send by snail mail. Now we get email, but letters are personal. And when you would get letters, I remember I had a summer fling. I was about 16 and I was in love and she was in love, but she lived in Colorado and I was in North Carolina. But we would get letters, and her letters had perfume on them. Wouldn't you, Joy? It had perfume on them. And I'd read those letters, and after a while they stopped, but they were letters that you read. And when you begin to read the Bible, this is not just words in a book. This is not just a duty. These are living words from a living God who speaks to us, and we hear him speak. And this is him talking. It's talking to us. So we listen, and then we talk. We talk. Now listen, here's the deal. We talk about prayer, and man, it's like the people go, okay, here we go. And I think a lot of times people are disappointed in prayer because their prayer has been either we're asking for something or they're what I call blue light prayers. You know what a blue light prayer is? You're driving down the road, you look up in the rearview mirror, and there's a blue light. You start praying, oh, dear God, oh, dear God, oh, please, oh, dear God, oh, please, thank you. But a lot of our prayers that way. But what if our prayer was just sharing and talking? We've made it to win-lose. Instead of making a relationship with the Lord who loves us, who is always with us, and who hears us, and we can talk to him. And we can talk to him just, and you don't have to talk to him in King James English. He understands Texan. You can just talk to him in your regular voice. You don't have to put a voice on like this to talk to the Lord. You just talk. He would go, what are you doing? That is not how you talk. But you can talk to him regularly. Heard a story a number of years ago. I always thought it was a great, great example. A lady called her local church and asked if a pastor could come and speak to her dad. Her dad was in declining health. And asked if one of the associate pastors could come. And an associate pastor, he was brand new, he showed up. And he walked into the room, and there was a man propped up on a couple of pillows, and he had a chair right beside the bed. And the pastor said, oh, I see that you were expecting me. And the man looked at him and said, no, who are you? He said, I'm the associate pastor from your church. He said, I saw the chair there. He said, I thought you would be expecting me. And the man said, oh, the chair. He said, would you close the door, please? So the pastor went and closed the door. He said, the chair, he said, I always had a hard time with prayer. He said, the pastor would talk about prayer and it just kind of went over my head. And so he said, I just abandoned prayer. For years, I just didn't pray much. He said, until a friend of mine looked at me and said, Joe, he said, look, don't make prayer this big deal. He said, to set a chair right there in front of you. He said, and you envision by faith, you see Jesus is sitting in that chair. He said, that's not weird. Jesus said, I'm with you always. He said, he'd never leave you or forsake you. He said, so you can just see Jesus sitting in that chair. He said, and you just talk to him like you would talk to me and listen. And the man told this pastor, he said, I started doing that. He said, and for 4 years I've been doing that. He said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I enjoy it so much sometimes I'll spend a couple of hours just talking to the Lord. Amen. He said, now, I don't tell my daughter this because she saw me coming in talking to an empty chair. She'd have a nervous breakdown or commit me to a farm. He said, but it's something that I've really loved. Pastor was very moved by the story. He encouraged him. He said, man, that's great. And he left, went back to the church. 2 days later, he got a call from the daughter. She said, Daddy passed away this afternoon. Pastor said, well, did he die in peace? She said, yeah. She said, I went in about 2 o'clock. He called me in about 2 o'clock. I was getting ready to run an errand. And he told me one of his dad jokes, gave me a kiss on the cheek. He said, when I came back later, an hour later, he passed away. The pastor said, well, did he seem to die in peace? Daughter said, yeah. She said, kind of the strangest thing, though. She said, when I got in, she said, his head was laying on the chair beside him. I've talked to people that have done this. And you may think it's a gimmick, but it's not. We have a Lord that loves us and can talk to us, and we can talk to him. Just share what's on your heart. Talk about what's on your mind. Talk about what's in your family. But talk to him. That's fellowshipping with him. And then whatever he tells you to begin to do, begin to practice that in your life. Here's a second one. He will share his perspective of you. When you begin to spend time fellowshipping with the Lord, you're going to get his perspective. You spend time talking with him and reading his word, you're going to get his perspective on what he thinks of you. Most of us have an image built up of ourselves. It's based on our background, our upbringing, our experiences, our wins and losses. It's based on what other people have said, and it may be your reality, but it's not always based in truth. But what Jesus will tell you is his perspective of you is a spiritual perspective, and he sees you as God sees you. He's not looking on the outside. He sees who you really are. In this verse here, Peter wrote this. He said, but you're not like that. You are, this is talking to those of us who've received Christ as Lord. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, Jesus, when he sees you, he sees the value in you because he has an eye for value. Years ago at Antique Roadshow, you familiar with that show? They showed up in Phoenix, Arizona, and a man had an Indian blanket that kind of laid across one of his chairs. He thought he'd take it in to see if it was worth anything, so he just kind of grabbed it up and carried it in. The appraiser, when he saw the blanket, the appraiser said, my heart skipped a beat when I saw that blanket. And he said, he began to look at that blanket, he took it back, and then he brought it out, and he began to talk to the man. He said, this is not only a Navajo blanket, it's a Navajo chief's blanket, and it's in one of the best conditions that we have ever seen. He said, I got excited when I saw it, because he knew the whole value of it. He said, you can auction this blanket off between $400,000 and $500,000. This was the guy, the appraiser knew the value of the blanket. You can tell when that guy carried it out like this and he put it immediately in the safe deposit box. He did wind up selling it for a little less than $500,000. But the appraiser was the one who saw the value because the appraiser knew more than this guy knew. Listen, when Jesus sees you, he doesn't see you like other people see you. He sees the value that you are. He sees what you've become and he knows your potential. And he's got a good eye for value. Here's the third one. He will add value to your life, not hurt. When Zacchaeus brought Jesus into his home, he didn't hurt Zacchaeus, didn't condemn Zacchaeus, he empowered Zacchaeus. And after Zacchaeus had spent some time with Jesus, he felt empowered. Empowered to change. Empowered to see things differently. Listen, when the Lord comes into your life, you invite him into your life. Some people think, oh, if I invite the Lord into my life, he's going to ruin my life. He will never ruin your life. There are people who have said things. They will say things like, I regret getting involved with this. I regret going down that path. I regret getting involved with this person. I've never met anyone who says, Alan, I regret getting involved with Jesus Christ because he adds value to your life, not hurt, not pain. And what he adds is an empowerment to live differently. Zacchaeus, when he invited Jesus in, he had the power to live differently, to give, to make things right. And Jesus will empower you to live differently. A verse we looked at last week, I think is worth repeating because it's such a good one. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. In Christ, your spiritual perspective, the spiritual person of who you are, is your God's masterpiece. Now, you may look in the mirror and go, I just don't feel like a masterpiece. It's not a matter of how you feel. It's a matter of how God sees you and a matter of what he's called you to do. He's called you to make a difference. He's called you to do good things. He has called us to show the goodness of God. That means we get to make a difference in our families. That means we make a difference on the job. That means we make a difference wherever our world touches, we make a difference because we are representing him. We are God's masterpiece and we are created to do good things. When you invite him in, he shares his perspective. He begins to add value to your life. His invitation is worth it. Boy, it's worth responding to because it makes such a difference. I'll close with this. Years ago, they used to have orators that would go, or they were actors, they would go around and perform in theaters. And oftentimes they would recite poetry or do parts of plays. And usually they were always great orators and they would speak. One guy was on the East Coast and he was speaking, he had a beautiful voice. His elocution was just flawless. And after a round of a thunderous applause, and they brought him back for just curtain calls. And finally, on this third curtain call, a man called out and said, do you know the 23rd Psalm? And he said, yeah. He said, I know that Psalm. He said, I'll tell you what, I will do that Psalm. He said, but sitting right down here in the front is my childhood pastor. And I will recite the Psalm if he agrees that he will recite the Psalm after me. And the pastor looked a little surprised, but he nodded his head. And the actor began to speak, and his voice just carried out over this auditorium. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And his pauses were beautiful, his voice was resonant. And when he finished, the people just gave him a thunderous applause. Then the old pastor, he called him up. He was getting up there in years, and when he looked out, he seemed a little intimidated by the vast crowd. But he just closed his eyes and he talked to God. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As he began to recite the psalm, you could tell it was more than just a psalm. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And when he finished, it was not thunderous applause, it was quiet. And some of the people were wiping their eyes. And the actor came and put his arms around his pastor and said, you know, he said, your response is appropriate. He said, I know the song. He knows the shepherd. Our prayer for you is that you would come to know the shepherd. You start by inviting him into your life as your Lord and Savior, but don't stop there. Keep inviting him in. Keep fellowshipping with him. Keep sharing with him. and watch what a difference he'll make in your life. Would you bow your head for a moment? Please, no one leaving. We'll be out of here pretty much right on time. But this morning, if you came and you say, you know what, I don't know that I know the shepherd. I don't know that I've ever asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life, but I want to do that. Maybe you're like I was. I had made that decision at one time and life happened and I just got away from the Lord, and I recognized that and I came back. And maybe that's you today and you recognize that. Maybe you're here, maybe you're online, you realize I've been away from God, but I want to come back. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to say a prayer. Now, we're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you come down to the front, but we are going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, Alan, I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or I want to come back to him, would you pray for me? We're going to do that. Would you just slip and lift your hand across this auditorium and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, way in the back. I got you. Anyone else? Say, Alan, would you pray for me? Thank you. Appreciate your courage. It takes a level of humility and courage to say, that's me. I need a Savior. Anyone else? With heads bowed and eyes closed, you can put your hands down with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to say this prayer. Now, maybe you did not lift your hand. You're thinking, I missed my opportunity. You did not. If you're online, they can't see you. But here's the deal. You can pray this prayer from the heart. This is a heart prayer. God sees hands. He sees hearts. You can pray this prayer right out of your heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. If you're online, if you're by yourself, pray it out loud with us. If you're with others, pray it quietly. But say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, with heads still bowed for a moment, Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer here and online. Lord, I thank you that you answer the cry of their heart. And we thank you for the wonderful plan that will happen as they have invited you into their life. Thank you for a relationship that will last for eternity. Father, we thank you for those of us who know you, that we can stir up our hearts once again to seek you, to fellowship with you, to get your input in our life, and to share our life with you. Thank you for making such a difference. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.